Hello, and welcome to Day 4 of End of Life University. This is your host, Dr. Karen Wyatt, and I'm so happy that you're here with me today to listen in on our interviews. By my original plan, today would have been the final day of this series, but as you probably know, if you've been reading the emails or watched the website, we have added on some additional speakers, so we're actually extending End of Life University by one day, and tomorrow will be our final day. But the theme for today is loving and leaving, and we're going to be delving even more deeply into end-of-life issues by talking actually about conscious dying, talking about leaving a legacy, and after-death issues. So today is a very important day. These are topics that really need to be addressed, and I want to applaud you and thank you for tuning in today to listen to these subjects, and I hope you find a great deal of information and inspiration in the series today. A few reminders, be sure to check your emails every day. At the end of each day, you will receive some brief little summaries, kind of the takeaway message from the talks that took place during the day. So if you weren't able to listen in live to any of the interviews, you can read the takeaways that I send out to help you decide if that's something you'd like to hear on the replay. And then also the replays of each interview are available for 24 hours after that interview takes place. So you can go back later on in the day or in the evening and listen to any of the talks that you've missed from that day. And finally, if you would like to have access to every interview from the series, but you haven't been able to tune into all of them, you can also upgrade to the Scholars Package, which you can purchase for $36. With that package, you'll receive MP3 recordings of every interview from the series. You can have the option of either downloading them onto your computer or your MP3 player so that you can listen to them anywhere at any time at your convenience. You'll also receive access to a private listening page that you can just bookmark on your computer, and you can return to that page at any time to listen to any of the interviews, and that will stay up. It won't be taken down, but that will be your own private access to that page so that you can have those talks to listen to. When you sign up for the upgrade package, you also receive the EOLU workbook, which is a workbook that accompanies each one of the lectures. It has additional resources, some journaling activities, and some wonderful self-assessments within it that you can take. One is a home safety checklist. You could use it for your own home or maybe for your parents' home to make sure their living environment is safe for a person who's aging. Another is the Holistic Health and Wellness Questionnaire that lets you focus in on areas of your life where you might want to improve your health by changing your own habits or practices a bit. And then there's also a Quality of Life Index that you can complete. So the EOLU workbook is really a great asset to have to help you with the series. And if you're planning on listening to all the interviews, the workbook goes hand in hand with those interviews so that you can get even more information out of the series. So once again, you can purchase that for just $36. And if you go to the website eoluniversity.com and click on the upgrade tab, you'll be taken to a site where you can read a little bit more about the package and then also purchase it for $36. And also remember that 50% of all the proceeds from the sale of these upgrade packages will be donated to Wish of a Lifetime Foundation. And if you tuned in on the first day, you heard Jeremy Bloom talking about that foundation. He's the founder of Wish of a Lifetime. And Wish of a Lifetime grants wishes for seniors, lifelong wishes for seniors who themselves would never have the means of accomplishing those wishes. And it's such a worthwhile organization, and I'm very excited to be supporting and sponsoring Wish of a Lifetime this year. So you will be helping in that process. If you purchase the upgrade package, half of what you spend will go to Wish of a Lifetime. One more note, it's still not too late to invite friends. If you know anyone else who might like to take part in this series, you could invite them today. There's still three great interviews to take place tomorrow that they can listen in on. So do invite your friends. They can also still, they will be able to access all of today's interviews this evening and tomorrow's interviews for 24 hours after they play live. So do invite your friends to register at eoluniversity.com and sign up for this great series. You can even let them know when the series is over if they're interested in purchasing the package. It's not too late after it's over to register and then purchase the package so they can access the interviews. With all of that said, I hope you have a wonderful day today. Enjoy listening in to our fantastic speakers who have volunteered their time to be with us. And take care. Hello and welcome to End of Life University. This is your host, Dr. Karen Wyatt, and today we're discussing how to tell your story and leave your legacy. My special guest for this call is Nanette Randall. Nanette enjoyed a long career as a business partner to operations, marketing, and sales leaders as a trusted human resources partner and confidant. She worked for both small and large organizations such as Popeye's Chicken, Price Waterhouse, Wendy's International, and MoneyGram. In early 2006, after a layoff, Nanette embarked on a new challenge. She created Memoirs by Design, a personal history business. Since her calling to do this work, she believes that everything in her life before this was a primer for what she is doing today. Personal history has become her life's work, and she is honored to have helped dozens of individuals, families, and small businesses by capturing their oral histories and then co-authoring and writing their stories. Nanette builds trust and uses her sensitivity, curiosity, and compassion to help others remember their favorite stories about people, places, and things from early memories to present life. Nanette helps preserve personal stories so that they can be shared with love for learning and the ages. Her company, Memoirs by Design Press, offers a variety of publishing solutions to fit most budgets so that you can share history, tell a story, and leave your legacy. Nanette, thank you so much for being with us today, and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm very excited to hear what you have to share with us, and I was wondering if you'd begin by telling us something about yourself. What is your story?
Well, I like to start by saying a little bit of the details about who I am. So I am a daughter, a sister, a wife, mother, and a grandmother. I spent over 20 years in the business world. I love the morning and sunrise, photography, flowers, poetry, soft music, the scent of peppermint and other essential oils, spiritual life and growth, friendships, red wine, and compelling stories. I play tennis, I volunteer at my church, and I help people tell their own stories. I think that summarizes me pretty well.
I love that, Nanette, because you just summarized your story in a very brief way, but giving us just a complete picture, really, of who you are as a person. And that gives us an idea of that's exactly what you help other people do, is tell who they are in words so that others can remember them that way.
That's exactly right. And the main thing to remember is that there's no special formula. There's no right or wrong in telling a story. It can be as long or as short as an individual chooses it to be. I summarize myself in this way just because I think it gives people a picture, a snapshot of me. Of course, there are many, many other stories and many other facets of my life that go with this, but it's a great springboard into who I am.
And Nanette, what do you feel are the benefits people can gain from telling their story in this way, and with the intention of leaving it behind as a legacy for their loved ones?
Well, I think that it's important for people to understand that their stories matter. What I've found in my life in doing this for the last nearly 8 years is there are two buckets of people. I think that there's the bucket of people that say, you know, yes, that sounds really interesting, or I think I'd really like to do something like that. And then there's the other group of people who just say, you know, absolutely not, I'm not interested, I don't want to talk. And so for those people, I respect what they say, and then I move on to pursue or, you know, ask a few more questions of the people that have expressed some interest. Because I think that most people are very humble, and they think, oh my gosh, I didn't really do anything in my life. I didn't achieve much of anything. But the truth is, when I sit down with them and ask them some questions about their families and or their careers and or people's lives that they've touched, they really do have many remarkable stories that go with their lives. So I think they're less fearful. I hope that answers that question.
Yes. Well, why don't you, maybe you should tell us, so our listeners understand, how you work with someone when to get their story or to help them tell their story.
Well, what I try to do is prepare people prior to the interview. I think that it's really important that people take this, you know, somewhat seriously. This is a project that we're going to be working on, but it's a fun project. It's almost like taking a stroll down memory lane. And it's something that at the end of the interview sessions, we'll have recorded all the details and all the myriad of stories that the individual has shared with me. Now, does that mean that every single piece of the interview will end up in the finished book? Not necessarily. And I'll get into that a little bit later about how we work together to produce a book. But my goal in working with every individual is to build trust and to create a comfortable atmosphere where a person enjoys sharing their memories and their stories. I work with whomever the family would like me to work with, whether it's the one individual who's hiring me, or maybe it's a son or daughter, or a niece or nephew, or a granddaughter, or something like that. I like to work together and just say, you know, this is what we're going to be doing, and maybe you can help me by collecting some cherished pictures, or maybe there's some letters that were written that someone's held on to, and or maybe there are some scrapbooks that are somewhere in the home, so that we can prepare in anticipation of the interview. And it's only preparing so that the memories are fresher and more vital, so that the interview time is spent wisely. When we're finished talking and I've recorded the conversations, then I move on to the next phase of the project, which does take me several months to complete, and that is working as the transcriber and the ghostwriter. And then after final editing and approval of the manuscript, we self-publish. So that's pretty much how it works from start to finish, kind of in a quick summation.
So it sounds like you oftentimes you sit down face-to-face with people, but do you also do interviews at a distance and record them, say, over the phone if it's someone who's far away from where you live?
Yes, I do. I like to tell people that I will go anywhere there's a story to be told. If a family member wants me to go to where their parent is, I will go there. Obviously, that's going to be there's going to be more expense involved in that for me to travel, but I think that it just depends on the comfort level that every family would have with me visiting and or recording the oral history and the story. the truth is that these particular interviews can easily be done over the telephone. It's just a matter of how many conversations would I possibly have with the storyteller before we actually start the recording. For example, well, if I might use you as an example, Karen, I mean, mm-hmm. would it be okay to do that?
Sure,
that
yes.
We met and you gave me, you asked your mother if she was willing to tell her life story, and she was, and that was great. And then I was able to call her and talk to her on the phone, and she seemed comfortable enough with me. So therefore, we next set a date where we would be doing the interview. So that's pretty much how that works. And it's always about building trust. You know, when is this person going to feel more comfortable with talking to me, knowing that it's being recorded and that we're going to use that for their story?
And it's interesting because that is how you and I met. I came across your work. And my mom at that time had been expressing that she had some stories she wanted to tell. And I'm also a writer and a storyteller. I could have taken her stories myself to record them, but I realized that some of her stories I had heard before and that I might interject my own bias into those stories if I were trying to write them down, and that it would be really helpful to have someone with a new set of eyes, someone more objective, kind of listening to her and just taking her story for what it's worth, the way it's presented, without adding on a lot of extra baggage, which is what I worried I might do. If I were listening, I'd say, yeah, but I know what Uncle Ralph was really thinking, so I'm going to add that in there. You know, I see why it can be really helpful for someone to just tell their story to a stranger that they trust, but someone who doesn't have any preconceptions about them, doesn't come in with any thoughts that I already know who you are. And so you can present a really clear picture of the people you work with.
That's exactly right. And that's really what I try to do. When you think about what a ghostwriter does, and that's pretty much, I present myself as a personal historian, but when people say, oh, what, gosh, I've never heard of that, and a lot of people haven't heard of that career, but there are well over 500 of us in the United States who are members of the Association of Personal Historians, which is a professional organization that of people who take this career very, very seriously, as I do. But I really follow it up very quickly with, well, you know, I'm really your personal ghostwriter. I'm actually the arms and the legs to your story's heart. So from my perspective, it's really important in a memoir to keep that person's voice intact, and so not having biases and not holding on to, you know, basically just allowing the person to share something as simple as telling me what the house looked like that they grew up in. I oftentimes will tell someone, you know, can you just take a minute here and work with me and just close your eyes for a minute. And before you open them, describe to me, as we're walking in the front door, what is the first thing that you see? What's in front of us? And then, you know, they're telling me, oh, well, there's a foyer, and then there's the staircase, and then to the right is the dining room. You know, and they're describing all these things. Well, in the book, I'm trying to follow along with what their description is. And it works really generally pretty well. Memoirs are a little different from a biography in that they're more descriptive, I think, and they're more detailed in certain areas. They're not a blow-by-blow description of a person's life, but they're an overview, and in some of the places, they're very descriptive of what that person experienced, what that person felt, and what that person saw.
And I was just thinking of, you know, my parents' generation, yours, your parents also, who lived through the Depression and World War II, they have some amazing experiences in their lives that are so feel so distant to the way we live our lives right now and our children, that there's such value in recording those images, even of what did your house look like, what was day-to-day life like for you.
Exactly.
Pass that on to
exactly.
our children, for whom that's a completely different world than the world our children know as life.
And it's an amazing world, because it's almost like when they read the books of their grandparents, oftentimes it's like a history lesson. It's like another viewpoint, or another view really into another time of life.
Yeah, definitely. And I can see, even for us now, the baby boom generation, it might seem to us like, well, our stories aren't quite as exciting or as rich. But the thing is, we would be leaving those stories for future generations, who would be looking back at our lives the same way our children are looking at their grandparents' lives. The future
exactly.
generations will look back at us and say, oh, my gosh, you lived before there were cell phones?
Well, and think about it. I mean, we really came of age, you know, in the 60s and 70s, and that was a whole new way of thinking about life and relationships and just everything. I mean, it's just completely different. So there's going to be some really good stories. Actually, there's already a couple that I've actually written the memoirs of a man who isn't quite 50. So that's been really pretty interesting. There's no magic age for someone to decide to sit down and pen their memoirs, or to have someone like me help them do it. It's when the spirit moves you. That's the truth of the matter. And it doesn't take a really long time to do it. If you think about it, I just finished a very beautiful memoir and storybook of a man I've known since I was 12. And his story is 53,000 words. It's very lengthy. But he basically sat down in three different sessions and spoke a total of about 10 hours with me. And that equated to all these, you know, these words, and then these, three dozen or so photographs, favorite photographs of his, and a story where, you know, his family will just cherish, because it's based on a very richly led life, where he had great memory, great recall, and of a time, he served actually in the military during the Vietnam era, which, you know, we're hearing a lot more Vietnam stories. I mean, veteran stories are they're profoundly interesting for people who enjoy history, because they're just chock full of history and experiences. So, you know, as I said, there's no magic age. There's no magic time. It's when the spirit moves you to say, you know, yes, I want to do this. And it does, when you hire a personal historian, you're hiring me to do this for you. And so it's my honor, it's my privilege, it's a labor of love. But at the end of the day, you have to read what I've put together and say, yes, this sounds like me. This sounds like what I want my story to be.
And in the case of, I was going to say, in my mom's case, she for a few years had been saying, I have these stories I want to tell, and she didn't feel comfortable writing them herself. She wasn't confident in her writing ability, and also just physically it might have been difficult for her to just sit for a long time with a pen and paper to write the stories down. And we actually bought her a tape recorder, thinking, well, she could tell the stories and talk into the tape recorder, and she never did it. And I realized too, she felt too self-conscious to sit by herself talking into the tape recorder. That was uncomfortable too. So I was going to say, I mean, there are ways people can record their stories themselves, But for my mom, it was the perfect solution, or was going to be the perfect solution, to have her talk to you, because she loved talking on the phone. She could easily do that and just tell the story to another person when she wasn't able to write or record it herself. So I can see your services are so valuable for people in that same situation.
Well, they really can be, because the whole reason I started to do this myself is because when I wasn't sure exactly what to do, and I knew that in my human resources career I loved interviewing and I loved writing, I actually got in a conversation with an oncology nurse, and that is what sort of gave me this idea that, my gosh, there's stories that are disappearing every day, and people don't even know that they could be capturing them. And their loved ones, their sons and daughters and their grandchildren, don't know that their stories could be captured. And it was really a journey that started sort of accidentally, but it is now with great intention that I really am in a service-oriented business. I provide a valuable service to individuals and families and small businesses to help them capture the story before it's lost, because a story lost is gone forever. I mean, it's just, it, you can't get it back. Now, I have said that they're doing posthumous stories is definitely a possibility, but it's going to come in a different, it's going to come about in a different way, and it's going to look a little bit differently, because it will be the memories captured of the people who knew the individual. And maybe there will be some letters that are involved in putting the book together that that individual wrote. Maybe that person wrote some poetry. Maybe there's a myriad of things that, that could go into that person's book, but it won't really be any longer called a memoir, because, you know, they're not with us anymore. But it can be a rich compilation of memories that other people share of that person, and it still is meaningful. So, I just can't reiterate it enough. If people listening to this recording think that they have an inkling that they want to do something like this, you know, sooner is better than later, but doing it at some point is better than not doing it at all. Mm-hmm. And doing something, even small, is worth it. I frequently will tell individuals, you know what, if you find out that you're, you know, and the sad thing is that I have worked with hospice patients in the past, and they're more inclined when they know that life is soon to be, you know, coming to a close for them. They want to say a few things. I'll never forget this one woman who I didn't really know very well. We knew each other through tennis. She was an awesome tennis coach, tennis player. I mean, just this wonderful woman, and she battled cancer. I think the fourth time she got it, it finally took her, but she battled courageously and valiantly, and she had one granddaughter that she just absolutely adored. Courtney was her name, and Courtney was 10, and this friend of mine, this woman, she said, I really need to say something to Courtney before it's too late. And I said, I will help you. Even if it's 15 minutes, it's 15 minutes of a recording that Courtney can listen to for the rest of her life and remember her grandma. And so we were able to do that. And, you know, it wasn't a month later that she fell into, the deepest darkness of her disease, and she passed away. So something, just a little, I want to be there for people to help them do that. It's so gratifying to know that one person can be impacted by another person's story down the road. I really believe that.
Absolutely. And I think that there's so much wisdom in people's stories, contained within those stories, wisdom about life and how you face difficulties and how you've overcome things and gotten through tough times in life. And that wisdom is what we really need to pass on to younger generations. We need to keep that alive. We need to keep telling it because it's so valuable.
We really do. I really believe that helping families and individuals and even businesses, I mean, this is one area that I really enjoy as well because of my business background, but helping those groups or people that have made a difference in the lives of others and help them capture the essence of their life experiences, their dreams, their work and learned lessons, especially before they disappear, is something that I just feel passionately about. And I think that what I do is to help others leave what I call is a light footprint. Okay, the beauty of an oral history in a book is that it can be read and listened to and then passed down. And just think about how many times each of us have wished that we could get the story from someone special in our lives who is gone now. I mean, I would give anything to be able to get my dad's story, but he died before I was, even knew I would be doing this work. So, when you tell a story, even if it's a short story, you share history and you leave a legacy for others to learn and grow and remember, hey, this is where I came from. You know, this is my family. This means something.
And I was going to say the rest of my personal story with my mom is that sadly my mom was one of those people who passed away before she ever got to tell you her story. And so we didn't have the chance to record it, even though we had already set the wheels in motion and had it set up and ready to go. Sadly, her health declined very rapidly and she ended up passing away. And I've spent the last 8 months going through all of her belongings and sorting through things, and I found a scrapbook that she made many, many years ago full of pictures, but there is not one story with any of those pictures. So I can look through, I can look at all of the pictures. I see her even as a young woman, a teenager, even with her friends, and I look at those pictures and what they're doing together, and I know there's just amazing stories that could accompany those pictures, but I don't have the stories right now.
And I know.
So for me, I feel so strongly that this really is important work that you're doing, so valuable, and it will be so meaningful down the road for the family that's left behind after we're gone, if we're able to leave them the stories, not just the photos, but the stories that go with them.
Exactly. We're all in the same boat in that we have massive numbers of photographs. Luckily, your mother put it in a scrapbook where it's not in a shoebox, along with a thousand other pictures, which is the way, unfortunately, some pictures are organized right now. And it's like, gosh, I'm not talking about telling a story about each and every picture either. I'm talking about out of 1,000 pictures, maybe there's one picture that you might want to pick out of that, one or two, to pick out of that to put in your own personal memoir and to tell me about, like, do you remember when that picture was taken? Do you remember what you were doing? Do you remember what the event was? Who was that person you were with? And that's a great springboard for a memoir. I have a client, his name is Harry, and he was so interesting to me because he was newly widowed. So his wife had died about a year and a half before we sat down and talked. And he really didn't know anything about what I did. Someone I met referred me to him, and he was like, oh, I've been really thinking about doing this, and I was thinking about sitting down, because he liked to write too, and he's like, I was thinking about sitting down and writing, but I just can't start it. And I said, well, that's why you've got me, because I'm not going to ask you to write anything down. I'm just going to ask you to talk to me. Just tell me. And he had tons of photo albums. I could not believe I mean, I want to say there were a dozen huge, big, fat photo albums that he had, and they were all organized. It was amazing. So either I forgot to ask him who did this, you or your wife, but either in any case, he found his book had well over 100 pictures in it because photographs were really important to him. And but they were also a great springboard for us in our discussion. And this was a man that actually served in World War II as an infantryman. So he has the that distinction of having that combat infantry medal, which really not that many servicemen are given because it's a rarity to be assigned to the front line, which he was. And amazing. And he, you know, he grew up on a farm, and he told me, you know, I really believe growing up on a farm helped me. It helped me deal and cope with the many things that I saw in war, including, you know, life and death, and lots of it, lots of death. So he's a couple years away from 90, very healthy, very. Very spry, and very, very happy that he did this. And he actually ordered many copies of his book because he knew so many people in the area that he wanted to give them away to. And he had a lot of, you know, family, a lot of friends. But he wanted them to know, you know, here's the story. And it's not just my story. It's kind of like it's everybody's story, if you know what I mean. He grew up on a farm. He grew up with the farm, the work ethic that is magnificent. Yeah. He served our country, and he survived. He went on to become a very successful businessman. And in his book, he shares, I'd like to read you a little something, if that's okay, because I'd like people to know this does not have to be fancy. It is not rocket science. It is really simply you sharing. And so this is what Harry shared. It's a little excerpt. And it's from a chapter that encompasses more than one topic, but I'll let you figure out what you want to take away from it. Here's what he says. We farmed until my boys were well into their teens. They were hard workers, and I couldn't have done it without them. Even though they sometimes had sports, we tried to work around that, taking in the games first. Then we'd leave. If it was a busy weekend, we'd skip going down there. It wasn't easy, but it was manageable. It was a good life. I'm sure the farming limited me in some ways with my real estate work, but I don't regret that. Keeping the farm all those years gave us time together, and I was able to keep in contact with my folks. My philosophy was simple. If I had remained on the farm and only been a farmer, I knew there weren't many ways of making extra money. It was better for my family financially if I had another career in another town and farmed just part-time. Real estate was my answer, and I made a pretty good income at it. I have learned a lot of lessons from being a landlord for almost 50 years. I guess you could say I've learned a lot about people from this line of work. Once someone gave me their word, I tried to depend on that and work with them. Giving your word should mean something, or at least it does to me. Unfortunately, I've seen lots of people who gave their word and then went back on it. And that's just a short excerpt, but it kind of gives you a sense of this man. And how he spent time with his boys, and how farming was just at the root of who he was, how keeping the farm helped keep him in touch with his mom and dad until they died, and his work ethic. What a work ethic.
Yes.
And his word.
And then his introspection about learning the lessons from the work that he's done and learning about people and taking all of that in during his lifetime about how people are, how the world operates.
Yeah.
It's just really a treasure. I mean, I can imagine it's a treasure for his family, but even for the rest of us who don't know him at all, there's a lot of wisdom and a lot of richness in hearing the story.
There really is. And it, as you can easily tell, that is not that paragraph is not a lesson in creative writing. It's writing from the heart, and it's basically him telling me what was important, and me hearing that, and just being able to put it down in a way that is enjoyable to read, I suppose, because that is a little bit of a craft, if you will, to be able to take an oral history and then spin it into something that people are going to read. It requires a little bit of flexibility, I suppose, from all of us. I write it and then I give it to my clients to review and just, you know, say, hey, are you okay with this? Does this sound like something that would come out of your mouth and that you would write down? And invariably, most people agree with what I've put together. I mean, sometimes, obviously, people have feedback and they may want to add some things. They may want to subtract some things. And I'm like, hey, that's fine. We, you know, this is a joint venture. So we do it together.
Mm-hmm. You know, Nanette, just listening to this, I can imagine that this has been an amazing career for you. You know, quite an experience for you, all the people that you've met, all the stories that you've been able to hear.
Oh, it's been such an honor and a privilege. I don't even feel deserving of it sometimes because people, they really do share. I mean, they share a lot. They share more in sitting down in that session, I think, because A, they are taking it seriously, and B, they know that this is for posterity and it's going to be remembered and valued. And they're really courageous and they're unafraid. And I just say, you know, even if you start out being a little bit afraid of the whole process, like, oh, I'm not sure, you know, I really encourage people to understand there is no right or wrong. It's just you. It's just what comes out of your heart, you know, and we'll get it right. I mean, it's not, you know, we can change things around. Until we go to press the final and last time, we definitely can change things around and do lots of editing and lots of changing. I think that, again, the biggest challenge for me is to help people understand that their stories matter and that there is great value in recording and saving them, and that when you hire someone like a personal historian, you are paying that person sort of as a project manager to oversee it from start to finish. And it's not daunting work. It's enjoyable work, at least for me it is. And, you know, I also want to mention, too, that because budgets vary, the scope and the size of a personal history project varies, too. But it can always be affordable. So if you've ever had, you know, a thought to tell your story, it's important not to wait. Working with someone in good health does provide a bit of a richer and a broader story. But I have, as I said, worked with hospice patients, and I've worked with people suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's. In fact, one of the things that I feel very strongly about are the people that have just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. They are the ones that they are in a very finite box and place, and it's really important to try and get their stories at that point because as every day goes by, that memory is going to change. So I just encourage people to remember that aspect. You know, Alzheimer's does not have to be an inability to tell a story. It's going to be a different little bit of a story, but it will be a story nonetheless. Absolutely will.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I once talked to someone who worked in a nursing home, and she had an Alzheimer's patient who had been a pilot in the past, And the staff at the nursing home was able to, someone had given them a story about him that had been written about him as a pilot, and they had a picture of him. And it turns out that that story and that photograph were the things they would use if he started to become agitated. And this was later in his disease when he wasn't really cognitively there and, you know, couldn't really converse with them. But they would, someone would come and sit with him and show him the picture and read the story to him about his days as a pilot. And he would instantly calm down and instantly go back to that place. And it was such a comfort to him because it was like an anchor or a touchstone that he could cling to that reminded him, yes, this is who I am. It reminded him in the midst of his confusion of his own history. And it was such a beautiful way to use that, to use a person's history to help them during the end stages of this terrible disease. And so I just, you know, you just made my mind come alive with the possibilities of that these stories that we write down now could even have a therapeutic use down the road.
They really, really can. I believe that. I think I've heard something along the line of what you just said. The two women who I know for sure, one had dementia, one had Alzheimer's, that I've worked with, they are both now deceased, and they've actually been gone for probably the last, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years. They were both very elderly when I did their stories, but their families were so thankful. I don't know that it helped them so much, you know, as the later stages got on to know about their story. But I know it helps healthy people to keep reading their stories once they've said them. But the families were so grateful. I mean, it helped the families in some ways cope with the knowledge of this debilitating disease and say, oh my gosh, you know, this mother of mine was someone completely different, and she was. I mean, it was just the woman with the Alzheimer's, that was an amazing story. I mean, that woman, I don't give names because I want to protect, you know, the privacy of families, etc., but very, very steeped in history in Colorado, and one of the national parks. I mean, her family, just, whew, big. Very interesting. So, yes, in answer to your previous question, I just can't even tell you how some of the stories have just touched me. In fact, sometimes when I do presentations, I just read. I talk about the benefits that we're talking about today, but I also like to read excerpts from stories. Again, protecting privacy, but allowing people to understand, these are people just like you and me. They're the same. We're no different. We just come to the storyline from a different place.
And it's so true. Every one of us has a story to tell. Every one of us has a story that's important to tell, that needs to be told and remembered.
Exactly. And it's the life experiences, it's the learned lessons, it's the family history that makes those stories so special and so unique and so meaningful. I just can't, again, I can't reiterate it enough. It's important that if you are someone who's younger and you have an elderly person in your life who has a story that has not been shared, that you encourage that person to tell their story. And that if you are the older person, the more senior matriarch, patriarch, that you generously give your story, because they matter. And they may not look like they matter today, right this second, but they will matter down the road when we're no longer here. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, well, they've told me that story. You know, I know that story. I've heard it 100 times. It's like, well, do you really think you're going to remember it? I mean, 100, you're going to remember that story with the level of detail that you do today? Well, I don't know. I think so. You know, and so those are the people that maybe if they don't feel it inside, you know, if they're like kind of maybe fussing a little bit about it, like, oh, I don't really need this, then they're probably not a great candidate for storytelling. Not everybody's going to be. But if you have an inkling, if you have a desire, then you're in that other bucket. You know, you're in that group that says, you know what, this does matter. So let's figure out a way to help you capture that story and leave that small piece of you, that silent but meaningful footprint on the world.
What if, say, I'm thinking I'd like to tell my story in the future. I'm not quite ready for it yet. Are there things you'd recommend to me right now that I should be doing? Should I be writing some things in my journal, or should I gather photographs? Or now, are there things I could do now in preparation?
Yes, and that's a great question, Karen. There are things that you could be doing right now, and the first thing is, if you were thinking about doing your own story, that I would recommend that you go through photo albums first and find meaningful photos, things that sort of capture your life, like as a child, maybe an infant, maybe in school, you know, like elementary school, maybe high school graduation picture, maybe if there were family portraits that were taken, group family portraits. If there's a particularly, you know, maybe there's a photograph of you with a pet. Maybe there's a photograph of you in front of a home, the house, the family house, on the land that you grew up on, you know, just somewhere that favorite places of your life. And just pull those aside and keep them in a separate special place, because eventually those will end up in your book, hopefully. And so instead of just putting them away, you know, maybe you just put them away for a day or two and then you take one out and you start maybe kind of writing a couple notes about what you remember about that day or what you remember about that house or what you don't have to write a lot. Now, if you decide you want to pen your own memoirs, then obviously you would want to be writing a lot more. And I have some tips for people that want to do it themselves. And it's very reliable. And the advice that was given to me, and I've actually followed it myself, is to get up early in the morning. First thing, you know, while you've got the coffee brewing or, you know, before you get really started out for the day, sit down in a comfortable place with a notebook, a dollar notebook, a very nice, a comfortable flowing pen, something that moves easily. Set the timer for 20 minutes and just start writing. Start writing about anything. Maybe it's one of those photographs. Maybe it's something that you see in the photograph. Maybe it's the people in the photograph. If it's a family photo, maybe it's about a sibling. Maybe it's something about your mom or dad. But just start writing. Let it flow. The editing will come later. It does not need to be edited perfectly. Just let it go. And just do it for 20 minutes. And try that every day for a week. And see how far you get. It's amazing. For people who have that desire to write, this could be the start of something really great and meaningful for you. If you need help down the road with editing, with proofreading, with pulling it together and making it into a book, you know, you can always contact me for help in that, but that's going to be a different project altogether. If, however, you are the person that might think, I want to hire this personal historian, still do all those same things, minus the need to have to write every morning. You don't really have to do that, but you might sit down with that notebook and think about important times in your life and jot down some events that you know you want to make sure are covered. For example, some people think about an important event that happened maybe in school. Maybe it was a teacher who encouraged them to play a musical instrument, and that teacher was really special. You might want to write down that, you know, that teacher's name and some of the qualities that teacher possessed, how that person made a difference in your life. Maybe it was a best friend. Maybe you had a love of animals and you had a very special animal in your life. I mean, it's just, there's 150,000 ways to do it, but it's mainly what's important to you.
Well, that's such great advice, and I think something that anyone listening could start doing right now. Whether you really have the intention that someday I will write a memoir or someday I will ask for help writing one, start doing it now, because anything that you record now will be available to you to use down the road if you at some point decide that you want to do it. I think that's just a great advice. Start pulling out pictures, start writing down notes to yourself and little recollections now so that you'll have them down the road.
Exactly. I like to tell all my clients to just get some paper out and just start taking notes as you're thinking about this project that we'll be working on, of those events and those times that you really want to make sure are covered. I do ask for factual information ahead of the interview. My fact form takes about 20 to 30 minutes to complete, and it's mainly things like, you know, names and places and dates, the who, what, when, where, you know, of a person's story, so that the spellings are correct and that the dates are correct, and I don't have to keep bothering my clients, you know, to verify that, because a lot of times in the interview that doesn't come up, or it's maybe difficult to understand, or maybe there's a mix up on a date, you know, that kind of confusion happens. But you know, in getting back to just any project, I mean, I can help anyone with any writing project, including taking old letters and pictures and creating a legacy book, transcribing old tapes and converting them into CDs and stories, or even publishing whimsical picture books about life with a beloved pet. And I do that through this other little mechanism called Wagatail Pet Stories. But, you know, I just believe there's something for everyone who has a desire. And, you know, giving the gift that matters, you know, stories and books, matter so much more than other material possessions. And it's not to say that the material possessions won't keep coming. I mean, obviously, you know, but maybe one year, maybe this year, this is the year you say, you know what, I'm going to give the gift of my story instead of the, you know, $100 gift card to, you know, to Costco or whatever. You know, just something that's a little bit more meaningful, a little bit more powerful, and able to be held on to for years to come. It's definitely something you will not regret if you do it. There is not one person that's ever called me after the end at the end of the project and said, oh, I really regret doing that. Never. No.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that I created this entire interview series was with the goal of helping people find peace of mind in their later years of life as they're aging and growing older. And it occurred to me that one of the ways we have peace of mind is by being prepared and planning ahead and thinking about the future, so that it doesn't take us by surprise as much as we have been preparing all along for what comes our way. But this idea of telling our story and having our story recorded, it seems to me like this could bring the greatest peace of mind of all, because in my hospice work, the fear that I saw universally amongst all of my patients is the fear that no one would remember them, that after they were gone, they would gradually be forgotten and no one would ever remember the significance of their life or their story. And so this is the ultimate way of being prepared and having that peace of mind to record the story and make sure it's there so that it will always be remembered.
Truly, truly, so well said, and so important to closure. For me, you know, people that decide to work on their stories, and I'm actually working on mine. You know, mine's a work in progress, but I've already filled one whole notebook, you know, with my what I wanted to write about, and it was mainly about this one particular phase of my life. You know, that's where I'm really focusing my time on my memoir. But you can, people can do whatever they like. It's just starting something. It's not daunting. It's not scary. It might be a little bit scary to think about doing it, and but it really doesn't end up being scary at all. And there's nothing that we start that cannot be finished. I mean, it's always going to be finished. I guarantee it, because I'm like that kind of a person. I like things, you know, wrapping up, and I'm pretty detail oriented, and I have some great resources to help me publish these books that I do, and I just feel like, you know, now almost 8 years into the process, I'm really coming up with some great solutions for people. There's something for everybody. There really is.
Well, Nanette, please tell our listeners if anyone would be interested either in learning more about you and what you do or getting in touch with you, how can they learn about you?
You know, I have a website, and it's www.memoirsbydesign.com, and that's MemoirsbyDesign. And, you know, on my website, it really speaks to, what we talked about today. I also have testimonials from my clients who have been generous enough to share those comments with, you know, with me and with other potential clients about what the process meant to them. And I also would so love to be able to talk to individuals who have interest and who want to know more information, and they can contact me either by telephone or through the website. I do invite people, if they check out my website, if they want to try their hand at documenting just a tiny little facet of our lives, and that is I have a form. If you provide your name and your contact information to me, then I will automatically give you the documentation on how to document a family heirloom. And I've used it myself. I was able to, I have a great story about a piece of jewelry that my mother gave to me that had been my grandfather's, and my great-grandmother had saved to give this to my grandfather for his high school graduation. So I have a little story that I share with my, you know, it's in my document. So it is very easy to use, is my point. And, you know, you might have a piece of jewelry or a piece of china or some other family heirloom that really needs to be documented, because think about that. Think about how many things in the house, there's a story about them, and it's just not, nobody knows it. Nobody knows it because it's gone. It's gone with that person. So that's kind of a fun thing to do. So that is my gift to you for allowing me the opportunity to contact you by your desired mechanism to be contacted, whether it's by telephone or by email.
So that's fantastic. I can see how that could be really helpful. I happen to have my grandmother's wedding dress, and I realize I definitely need to document something about that, because once, you know, my own children won't really know what that is. If they find it someday, they won't know, oh, what is this old thing? And so, you know, I'm going to download that form right away, because that reminds me, I definitely need to write down what I know about that dress and
good.
Where my grandparents got married. That's great.
Yeah, see, it's just so, it can be so fun. It's almost like going on a treasure hunt, trying to figure out the story about these various things that we have in our possession. So that's just one little thing.
Well, Nanette, I really want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your stories and your wisdom. And I want to remind all of our listeners that I'm talking to Nanette Randall from Memoirs by Design. And you can go to her website, www.memoirsbydesign.com. And make sure you sign up on the website and download her free gift, the documentation form for family heirlooms. so that you can get started recording your own history. And I really advise everyone to think about doing this. And so once again, Nanette, thank you very much for joining us today and for sharing your wonderful stories with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I just really appreciate it. I really appreciate getting the word out there. I feel that it's my personal professional mission in life to just encourage people to do something so that they are leaving their legacy behind for those that love them and who they loved through the years. So thank you again. I just really appreciate it.
Well, thank you again, Nanette, and thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.